This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And the driving jam time.
The Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Come back, pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now, sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's get after it. Benjamin Hockman in Denver at the bottom of the hour at 10:30, where the Blues will embark on another playoff journey. Game one tomorrow against the Avalanche at 9 o'clock. Brian Kelly stays in studio to talk a little hockey with me right now. Mike Schilt, Cardinals manager. We moved him to next hour for two reasons. One, they're on the West Coast. Time change. Second, another really long game. But no, I actually talked to him before the game yesterday and made sure that he knew we wanted to move him an hour later, and he appreciated that. It's early out there.
8 o'clock.
Late game. Yeah. You don't want to. I mean, come on. So, and as after yesterday, we'll get into the Cardinals next hour. John Mozeliak at 11:50, Cardinals president of baseball operations, will join us live.
Will he talk about that one guy?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that is that deal has not been announced by the Dodgers, and it's therefore has not been finalized. It's not expected to be finalized until tomorrow. I'm not so sure that an organization can comment on that right now.
Oh, okay.
That's why you have not seen any public comment from anybody on the Cardinals about that deal going down. So I'm not sure if they'll be able to do that or not, but stay tuned. We'll see in the 11 o'clock hour, sports on a Sunday morning. But the very latest on the Cardinals, and let me say this about Pujols before we go, and we'll take your phone calls too, and then we'll talk a little hockey. But you know, I've followed Pujols, as many of you have, since the minor leagues, and I feel close to him. He's been great to me. He really has. For whatever reason, he liked me from when I was a young reporter. He took care of me. Looked out for, you know, the fact that he liked the way that we interacted and talked and asked questions. And, you know, he was always a straight shooter with me, and I was back with him, and I thought it was a great relationship. And so when he left, I mean, it hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, because I enjoyed being with him and covering him, and I thought that he would go down and be the next Stan Musial. And he is one of the greatest Cardinals of all time, even though it was cut after 11 seasons. So when this opportunity came around, selfishly, I thought, wouldn't that be great? I mean, Albert Pujols back in a Cardinals uniform, the optics of that, just amazing, right? I mean, you're talking about selling tickets and TV appearances and an unbelievable full circle story. And selfishly, as a media member, that would be a fun story to tell and to cover and fascinating to watch. Then I started thinking about, what about Albert? What about the Cardinals? Like, I'm thinking about myself as a media member. And yes, for those of us who follow this team, for those of you fans who follow the team, what about Albert and the Cardinals and the business of all of this? And by the way, 29 other teams that are probably kicking the tires on this opportunity too. I mean, here's a really good player. If you could talk him into taking a part-time role and joining your team and being a mentor to the rest of your dugout, wouldn't that be good? And I think this is a good opportunity for him. He's going to be a Dodger. And as I said to you this morning at 7:15, I think we talked about this. When I think about when Pujols becomes a Dodger, now what is my thinking? All right, buddy. We'll see you in the playoffs. That doesn't mean he turned down the Cardinals or anything like that. I'm just saying he now becomes a member of a rival team. Look, David Freese played for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, we like David Freese, don't we?
Yeah.
Pujols left the Cardinals once. This time around, he's going to play out his career probably in another uniform other than the Cardinals again. That means that we can review his Cardinals experience as absolutely perfect. You know, he started out with a bang. He ended with a world championship. He'll come back and wear a red jacket. And I wish him the absolute best. I really do. And for the Cardinals, look, first place team. I know they got thumped last night. This is a good ball club and a team that does still need to improve in a lot of areas, but they have a 3-game lead in the NL Central, and it's time for them to think about moving forward and getting that 12th championship. That's what I'm focused on. As much as I love Albert Pujols, like, I wouldn't remember 2021 anything other than winning a World Series is the goal.
Yeah, and it's, I would love to see him come back on one hand. On the other hand, it doesn't bother me that he's not. I just don't know exactly how much he would contribute. It'd be a great story, and a season that's already kind of storybook with Arenado getting here and his comments about Pujols, Wainwright, Molina. It's all, the stars are aligning for an amazing season. It'd be really neat to have Albert back, but I don't know that it's necessary, and it might even cause disruptions. I don't know. So either way, I'm okay with what happens with Albert.
Well, and Ben Fredrickson, I thought, made a nice point in the Post-Dispatch today in that he kind of insinuated, like, what if Pujols struggles and what if it doesn't go well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then what? Because he mentioned how Ken Griffey Jr. ended his return quickly. Willie Mays, for those who go back to the 1970s, it did not end well for him with the Mets. Bob Gibson, even. You know, Bob Gibson came out of the bullpen and you know, it didn't, not that his legacy isn't amazing, but, you know, it's like the end of careers are tough sometimes. Yeah. And I think I give respect to those players. Like, I respect Pujols for wanting to continue to play. He still thinks he can do it. Who's to say he can't? It's not our story. It's his. It's whatever he wants to do. I think in our minds, we want it to end a certain way. That's not always how it works. You know, Michael Jordan ended in a Washington Wizards uniform. People wanted him to end with that hand up in the air against the Utah Jazz. Well, that's right. It's not your career. It's his. If he wants, Emmitt Smith wanted to keep playing football. Cowboys fans had to watch him in a Cardinals uniform, and football fans watch him in an Arizona Cardinals uniform. That looked weird. Well, guess what? He wants to keep playing football. Mm-hmm. So however it looks, that's his legacy, not yours.
Look at Sidney Ochara right now in the NHL.
Good point.
You know,
really good point.
Yeah.
And let's shift over to that. And by the way, I do want to take your calls, James, if that's okay, at 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120, because I've gotten all over the map. I mean, I've had some pretty people I really respect that came to me, not in the Cardinals organization, but just people around town that are like, they have to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had other people exactly the same that I respect, big name people that are like, no. It's amazing to me how it was so, not that it's some controversial subject, but it was polarizing that you had people that said I want him, and others are like, eh. I found that very interesting. So anyway, I'd love to get your thoughts on it. We can kind of put those feelings to bed maybe. And then tomorrow we probably get a finalized deal for Pujols and the Dodgers will announce it. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Capitals beat the Bruins. How about that?
Overtime. How about Capitals Craig Anderson, 39-year-old, plays 4 games, comes in, and gets the job done?
I'll tell you, it never gets old when a Boston team loses, except I like the Celtics because of Jason Tatum. I do like Jason Tatum and the Celtics, and I hope that he wins his games.
See the picture of Jason Tatum's son with Kevin McHale?
No.
Yeah, and the quote was like, I don't know who was more excited to get the picture, Kevin or... Or Tatum is like, very cool, very cool.
Yeah. Oh, the poor Bruins. They lose in the first game of the playoffs.
You think Brad was crying afterwards?
3-2 in overtime. So now the Blues are on the clock, and they play tomorrow at 9:00 against the Avalanche. We'll go to Denver. Benjamin Hockman is there covering the series. He'll be with us at 10:30. BK, what do you think? I mean, we talked all season long. We've talked before the season started about this team. I think the expectations were high. They get in a pretty low seed here going up against the big dogs, the Avalanche. However, I feel kind of good about this series, even if David Perron doesn't play right away.
Boy, I hope he does, though.
Me too.
He has been so good. I could see him as a Conn Smythe potential.
He's been amazing.
Go deep,
he really has.
He has been that good.
Point per game.
So I certainly hope he can get back in there. Nathan McKinnon's expected to be back. We'll see how healthy he is. That's huge.
Lower body injury. Yeah, he's missed 4 of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we'll see how that goes. Tarasenko's got to get back and got to get into the mix of things. You know, the Blues have a team that is built for the playoffs that when they play playoff style is very effective. They have to do that 4 games in each series is all. And hopefully they can do that. They got to get, obviously, the goaltending. Sammy Blais, I'd like to see him get in there because he's the kind of guy that can stir things up and play the physical playoff type. And it's just they got to play the way Berube wants them to play, that physical, hounding, forechecking style. And if they do that, I think they have a good chance to win this series. I know most people are picking Colorado, and good reason. They won the President's Trophy, which I think is a reason to pick against them. But, you know, again, it's going to be up to the Blues playing their style of hockey and getting the goaltending from Bennington. And I feel pretty good about it.
I feel good about it. Not that I'm picking the Blues to win this series, although I'm leaning that direction. Mm-hmm. I think that it'll be a really good series. And the reason I would lean in that direction is the last time I saw these two teams play each other.
Yeah.
I thought the Blues were the better team. And the Blues fell behind 2-0 early on that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That was embarrassing. And it was a penalty after a penalty. And so it was 5-on-3. And the Avs scored a couple times, which they can do because they're very skilled. But the playoffs are a different animal. And the Blues will play a physical style because they know they have to. They are going to turn on the switch now. And in the regular season, not that they haven't played a heavy game, but it's hard to play a heavy game for 56 straight games.
Yeah.
I mean, you know in the back of your mind you're going to be banged up for the playoffs. So it's just not going to happen. But in the playoffs, you know that you have to do it.
Yeah.
And so the Blues are going to take series by series and try to basically beat up the Avalanche, I think, and then find timely goals. Perron would really help. The latest on Perron is that he is on the NHL's COVID list. I don't know what that means until we hear from the Blues today what his availability is for Game 1. If it's a false positive, you'll see him right back in there in Game 1. If it's not, he might miss the series, Brian. I mean, that's a long quarantine if you can't.
That's a major concern. One of the questions is going to be, too, what are they going to do with Klim Kostin? Has he shown Berube enough that he would step in and get some playing time, especially if Perron is out? That'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
Guy had a team-high 6 hits in his debut,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good number. I mean, the players with the best hits per game are 6 or under, I think, around 5 hits a game, 6 mm-hmm. hits a game. I mean, that's pretty good. So I look forward to seeing what he can do. 6'3", 215 pounds, can get after it.
And he fits that playoff style. Like you said, he hits, he forechecks, and so that's what we're looking for.
Yep, and back to that Saturday game. So the Blues fall behind 2-0 on a 5-on-3, and then number 90 just had that look in his eye on the bench. And I remember the look. He threw that beard and looking at those eyes, and he was exhaling, and he was ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, he just took the game into his hands and tied the game. And the Blues took off and won that game and won the next. And they won back-to-back. And Bennington, if he starts to get warmed up and feels good about himself, the Blues are going to be tough to deal with. But this is a very quick, fast, strong Avalanche team. And if McKinnon is back, he is a superstar that the Blues just don't have, with all respect to O'Reilly. They don't have a player like that. So it's going to be tough to handle, but I think that the Blues can do it. Perron, it does not hinge on whether Perron plays or not, whether I think they can win or not, but it certainly would help.
Yeah.
Defensively, the Blues are not the same defensive team that they had when they won the Stanley Cup. Alex Pietrangelo is a loss. That said, I mean, I like how some of these players have come together. I mean, I like Mikkola.
I do, too. I like him a lot.
I think he's a really nice player.
Yeah, and I like his attitude. He dropped the gloves a couple of games ago. The other night, he was a little nasty. You know, he's trying to prove he belongs and wants to play, and he is stepping up, and I really like him. I think he could be a real surprise to a lot of people in this series.
The player that the Blues are missing here that I think is a huge miss is Sundqvist.
That's
the type of player. Now, he would have played 56 heavy games.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he is a guy who buys in and plays hard and plays tough. Not that the guys aren't playing hard, but I'm talking about playing that style, what you want. Sundqvist just went all in.
And a penalty kill, you know, so valuable on that. Talking about the defense, you know, I had real concerns during the course of the season. I didn't think Torrey Krug, even though his numbers are okay, played as well as he could have. Falk now, of course, has taken over that leadership role at the back end, and I think lately Krug has they look comfortable now. You know, it takes a while for those newcomers to get together and feel like they're the team, and I think that, as I mentioned, I think last week, they look like a team now. They've got it. And I think that's going to be a real key to this, because when you're playing a team like Colorado, you have to play as a team defensively. It takes three guys to shut down a McKinnon, and they're going to have to you know, really play that good, solid defense, not give him any room, be there to support each other. And if they do that, I think they'll be okay.
It does not break my heart that these five teams that have given the Blues trouble in the past are not in the playoffs. Dallas, Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, and San Jose.
Yes.
None of them. None of them are in the postseason. However, it does give me pause that Colorado, Vegas, Minnesota are in it. And for that matter, you know, the Nashville Predators are in it. Now, the Blues have had their history with them. I'm not sure you're going to see them. So, you know, we'll see where it all shakes out. Before we take a break, let me get your thoughts. You watch a lot of hockey. So let's start with that. So in the West, in the other series, Vegas and Minnesota, do you see that as a competitive series, or is Vegas too good?
Minnesota does not impress me that much. I think Vegas can win that in probably five.
Okay. Central Division, Carolina against Nashville. Boy, Carolina's had a great
year. Carolina's really good. I think that's another four or five game series for the Canes.
Pat Maroon and the Tampa Bay Lightning taking on Florida, and Florida's had a very good season.
Yeah, I was thinking about that driving home the other day from work, and I don't know where to go with that one. I love going to games in Florida. I've been there many times. Tampa's a great hockey town. I want Miami to become that, you know, and so I'm pulling for Florida, because I think it'd be good for the franchise as much as anything.
Yeah, okay. I hear that. I'm going to pull for Pat. You know, I want Maroon to do well. But those teams are only 4 points apart. Florida, 79 points. Tampa Bay finished with 75. But Florida's had a really, really nice year. They only finished a point behind the tops in the Central, Carolina. Also, let's go east. Pittsburgh and the Islanders, they get going here at 11 a.m.
I think Pittsburgh is going to win that one. Jeff Carter has been a tremendous addition, and I think it'll be Pittsburgh in that one.
Minnesota-Vegas at 2 o'clock, Tampa Bay-Florida at 6:30, and then they're still playing regular season games for whatever. NHL's weird. Calgary and Vancouver play tonight.
I think in that series, nobody cares.
No.
Yeah.
They're still playing those games or whatever. They actually played last night. Vancouver beat Edmonton 4-1 in a regular season game. Edmonton's playing, though. So let's look at the rest of the East. You have Washington's up 1-0 on Boston. How about Tom Wilson scoring the first goal?
Oh, I just hate that. I do think Boston's going to win that series, though. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it'll be Boston.
I think you could be right about that. And then looking at the North, the team that I always root for when the Blues get knocked out, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I always root for the Leafs. They've had the longest drought, and they have a great fan base. They have an entire nation, basically. Yeah. Canada, they're Canada's team.
They are.
As with respect to all the others. Toronto against Montreal.
That's
what a series.
Fun to watch, but I think Toronto's going to win that one.
Okay. Toronto, the number one team in the North. Montreal, the number four team in the North. Leafs have had a really good year, 77 points. And then finally, Edmonton against Winnipeg. Who do you like there?
McDavid and Draisaitl against Connor Hellebuyck. Boy, I was thinking of that one this morning on the way in, and that's another toss-up that I'm just not sure about. I'm going to go with Edmonton because I would love to see the Matthews-McDavid matchup in the second round.
We'll see where it all goes. Blues and Avalanche starting tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Benjamin Hockman is in Denver, and we'll hear from him in just a bit. When we come back, we'll tell you what happened in the Preakness and look at a few other sports before we go to Hockman at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, Mike Schilt has been moved to 11:15 to accommodate the West Coast time change. John Mozeliak has agreed to move back a little bit to 11:50. And then at noon, we will depart sports on a Sunday morning for 2 hours today on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Benjamin Hockman coming up in just a few minutes. I wanted to see if we could sneak in a few phone calls. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Randy is on KMOX. How you doing, Randy? Is Randy still there, James? No. Is he? Okay. Well, we'll get to him later. Who else do you have there, James? Anybody else? Okay. Randy was hanging on there. Let me say this, that we have Benjamin Hockman in just a few minutes, and then Mike Schilt, for those who are just tuning in, is not this hour. He's actually going to be at 11:15, and then 11:50 will be John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. One thing I did not talk about in the get-go, and we went really long with Brian Kelly on hockey, but I love talking hockey with him and about the playoffs and about the Blues and everything that's to come for them, and Benjamin Hockman will talk about that and the Cardinals and Albert Pujols, and also wrote a beautiful column about the late Ford Stewart that I want to talk about as well, the Billiken assistant coach. I did not talk about the Preakness, and Ron Bauer was the winner, an 11-1 upset victory in the Preakness, and got Medina Spirit out of the Triple Crown conversation. Now, the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, finished a distant third, going off as the favorite. All eyes were on Medina Spirit. He failed a post-Kentucky Derby drug test for the presence of the steroid betamethasone, and now was able to participate in the race in Baltimore. But Ron Bauer took all the honors, an 11-1 upset victory, busting the bias, really, of horses hugging the rail. He was able to get it done, going past Midnight Bourbon and Medina Spirit down the stretch and winning by 3.5 lengths. Trainer Michael McCarthy gets his first Triple Crown victory and captured the Preakness before Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher, for whom he worked as an assistant before opening his own barn. So congratulations to Michael McCarthy. We have a lot of horse racing fans in our audience, so I want to make sure the Preakness gets its due. Benjamin Hockman will get his due when we come right back to Denver, Colorado.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports on a Sunday morning.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show, Sports on a Sunday morning. Beautiful morning here in St. Louis. Let's see how things are going in Denver. Benjamin Hockman is back in Denver covering the Blues-Avs series. How are you, Benjamin? Columnist from the Post-Dispatch. What's going on?
I'm good, but things are a little murky here with the David Perron news.
Yeah, what's the latest on Perron? What do you know there?
He's on the COVID list. That's what I know for sure, and that means likely he won't play in the first game. And we're talking about a guy who literally led the team in points.
Yeah, he did. A point a game. He's a tremendous player. I mean, the thing you could hope is that it's a false positive, right? And if that's the case, then he'd be right back in there. But I don't know that for sure either.
Right. Yeah, fingers crossed. And Jim Thomas and I from the Post-Dispatch, we headed basically across the street from our hotel here to Ball Arena, formerly known as Pepsi Center, for practice this afternoon. And we'll be all over it to see who's on the ice for St. Louis.
We'll definitely be following you on Twitter. I love following JT on Twitter. He's all over that stuff with those great morning skate tweets, just like he did back in the day covering the Rams. By the way, have you seen Stan Kroenke around? Did you see him at Starbucks or anything like that?
You know, I texted him. I wanted to see if he wanted to get a beer last night, but you're not going to believe it. No response. No, I haven't seen our favorite mustached villain since Snidely Whiplash around town just yet. I am curious if he'll attend any of these playoff games.
Yeah, I wonder. I would be looking for your column if that was the case, because I know you'd be able to track him down. I actually get asked that fairly often. If you could interview one person, who would it be? And my response is always Michael Jordan. I would love to interview Michael, and I'm just always fascinated with him and his mindset, and which I still think is as competitive as anybody in the world. But I would take the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Kroenke if that were presented to me.
I'm with you. I'd love to sit next to you and be your Bernstein to your Woodward on that, and just talk to him and pick his brain about what went into the decision of kicking his home state in the stomach and running away.
I think Blues fans would love the opportunity to take out the Avalanche. It's a good team. Now, Nathan MacKinnon is coming back, apparently. He is looking like he could be playing in this series. He missed four of the last five games with a lower body injury. How do you see this series in terms of the two? I guess a tale of the tape, Benjamin, a team that is pretty strong in the Blues and a quicker team in the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a chess match, if hockey can be a chess match, because you've got a team like Colorado that's basically the hockey equivalent to Showtime Lakers basketball. Just so much fast break, so much speed, so much attack. And then you have the Blues, who have some of the better defensemen in the NHL. And, of course, when they're playing their best hockey, it's puck possession, and it's grinding, and it's getting into the corners, playing dirty hockey and playing hard hockey and making it work. So something's got to give in this series. And, of course, I haven't mentioned the goaltenders yet, and as we know, in playoff hockey, a goalie can make or break you.
I felt like, and your column does touch on this player, number 90, you call him the Blues' most important player in the series, and makes those around him better. There is no doubt about that, and that is Ryan O'Reilly. When he had that look in his eye on that Saturday game when the Blues took on the Avs and they fell behind quickly 2-0, it just changed the entire mindset, I think, about this team. Suddenly, things were possible as the Blues ended up winning that game, Benjamin. He is a remarkable talent, isn't he?
No question about it. That April 24th game against Colorado in St. Louis was about as must win as a regular season game can get, and they won the must win thanks to Ryan O'Reilly against his former team, the Avalanche. What a great storyline. Drafted by Colorado, made Colorado as a first-year player right out of the draft. He was the first. This is kind of a cool stat, I thought. This is in 2009. Ryan O'Reilly makes a team that was a second-round pick. That hadn't happened in 6 years in the NHL where a guy not in the first round made the team immediately. And that showed what an impact he made right away at camp. And we know the impact. We see it on the St. Louis Blues. It's a 200-foot hockey game. He's up the ice. He's down the ice. He's one of your best defensemen when he's in the defensive zone. He's one of your best offensive players when he's in the offensive zone.
Wearing the C is a big deal. What is he like off the ice, according to the players? So Benjamin, you've been following this team all year. How has he handled that role?
I think pretty well. And to be honest, there's been some bumps in the road. We saw this team. And frankly, I'm not trying to make excuses for the St. Louis Blues, but this is a weird season, right? But I mean, they're playing the same teams over and over. There's a lot of COVID protocol. It's not like the previous years. We can go to a restaurant after the game and just hang out around town. And O'Reilly's done a pretty good job overall. And I think a lot of it is because of the respect factor. And I interviewed Zach Sanford in the team Zoom the other day, and he just talked about how players follow in O'Reilly's footsteps, and they see him working hard, first to practice, last to leave practice, things like that. And that really permeates through the St. Louis Blues.
I do feel like the Blues have an X factor in this series, and he wears number 91. Vladimir Tarasenko is a tremendous talent himself in a different kind of way. One of the best shots we've seen wearing a Blues uniform, but as we all know, it's a style of play that he needs to accept, right, Benjamin? But he also needs to be healthy. And so there are a lot of factors going into how Tarasenko could be an impact in this series.
No question about it. And I mean, the obvious statement is if he's 2017 Vladimir Tarasenko suddenly this coming week, the Blues are in a good situation. But we've seen him struggle at times this year, go through some stretches that were tough. And a lot of that's because he's returning from another shoulder surgery. But yeah, I mean, all you need is one power play, right? All you need is one look and a wrist shot, and suddenly he's sniped a goal, and the Blues take the lead, if you will, in this scenario, and it's really exciting. But I think we'll know the best test with Vladimir the first time he tries that power move from the right side towards the goal. If he can beat the defender and get the power move, get in front of the goal and get a shot attempt, we'll know that he's back.
And I'm curious to see what Mike Hoffman is like in this series. You talk about somebody from the right faceoff circle, that's his office, and he has done some serious damage there. He's a very important factor in this series too, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of O'Reilly in this scenario. When St. Louis got Ryan O'Reilly, he'd only been to the playoffs twice in his long career. And there's something to be said about a hungry player who's made millions and done everything he can on the ice, from a personal standpoint, but not one in the playoffs. And Hoffman really hasn't had much playoff success in his career. So, you know, this has to be really important for him. So, yeah, if you can get him going and get him sniping, things could be pretty exciting.
I kind of feel like the NHL has sort of dismissed the Blues in a lot of ways. Most observers are picking the Avs, and pretty much everybody's picking the Avs in this series. But if they win game one and they get a little bit of a swagger back, you just never know. I've never seen game one as the most important game of a series, but it might be in this case. If the Blues can get this one, we'll see, and not have to play catch-up and make the Avalanche do the same. While we have you, Benjamin, I wanted to ask you about a few other things. So, Albert Pujols, this is not has not been announced by the Dodgers yet and has not been finalized, so we haven't heard widespread comment about this except from observers like us. And I think that my feelings have been pretty well made. I'd like to hear what yours are. Mine, basically, Benjamin, is that in the business of baseball, sometimes you have to look out what's best for teams and players and not necessarily for us who like stories. What do you think about the whole Pujols scenario and where he ended up?
I mean, I guess I would say to St. Louis and those listening in Cardinal country is like, what's wrong with just cherishing the memories of the 11 amazing years he gave St. Louis? What's wrong with just holding on to that forever and not trying to taint that or tinker with that? The reality is, kind of like you said, I mean, here's a guy who is not 2011 Albert Pujols. He is, you look at his numbers, he is clearly 2021 Albert Pujols, a 40-something ball player who has some power but really isn't going to provide much else. And where does that fit on St. Louis? And we know that he wants 33 home runs to, of course, get to 700. Will he get 33 home run opportunities, if you will, with the Dodgers? I don't know. Is he going to like this bench role? Is he truly going to like this bench role once he's sitting there and watching his teammates thrive or even lose and they don't play him? Imagine that. So I'm not saying I'm glad they didn't get him, but I think a good way to I think it's a good business move not to get him, and because I think too much sentimentality would have been weaved into this. And the reality is we can bring Albert back whenever we want to put on the red jacket, drive him around the field, and that's going to be awesome. But the Cardinals are trying to win the World Series here, and I don't think it would have been the best fit.
What if Pujols struggles and you don't put him on the postseason roster? You know?
Right.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean...
right.
Yeah. It comes down really quick, Tom, to the Matt Carpenter situation. Obviously, Matt Carpenter isn't as beloved as Albert Pujols, but he went from, I mean, how many people were talking about salsa in St. Louis that one August and September? How many people were so excited about Matt Carpenter? People were growing beards, I bet, just to look like Matt Carpenter, the great Cardinal. They loved him. And now many of those same people would love to see him cut from the Cardinals. And that's just Matt Carpenter. Now we're dealing with someone who's literally a top 2, 3, 4 player in Cardinals history with Albert Pujols.
Yeah, and for Matt Carpenter, I get asked that a lot, and I know you do too, is why do they keep playing him? Well, his left-handed bat. I mean, if he was right-handed, I don't know that it's as much of an issue, but a left-handed bat, the Cardinals don't have a lot of those, so they're giving him opportunities, also a big contract, of course, and they're paying him, but that doesn't mean he'll be on the postseason roster either. I mean, there are some decisions that'll be made if the Cardinals do make the playoffs. Overall, what's your feeling, Benjamin, on this club right now? On one hand, they have had some bumps in the road. On the other, they have the biggest division lead of any team in baseball right now, 3 games over the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting, Tom, because in the modern game, and it's an obvious statement, but home runs are king more than ever before. And the Cardinals are third in the National League in home runs. Last year, they were last in baseball in home runs. And the previous year, I believe they were 21st in baseball. And home runs matter more now than ever before because people are catering their swings and changing their offensive strategies and fine with striking out, knowing that that same swing and that same strategy at the plate could lead to a home run later in the game or later in the series. So that's good for St. Louis. Now, the pitchers, though, they, for now, haven't been allowing a lot of home runs overall, but can they sustain that when they're not getting a lot of strikeouts? And that's the big question. Oh, and they're walking guys, too. So I think with St. Louis, the key and the reason why they're kind of fine with not having a lot of strikeouts is if the ball's put in play, they have trust in this elite defense that St. Louis has out there. I mean, we get excited talking about the halcyon days of Ozzie Smith in 1982 and the 80s and the defense. I mean, you could argue, I mean, all the way around, this is a better defense than St. Louis had in those glory days. So, yeah, if the Cardinals can get the ball just batted to these guys, they're fine with them making the plays.
And finally, Benjamin, before we go, our hearts are heavy for the St. Louis University community and the Billikens, our great broadcast partner. The loss of Ford Stewart is a very tough one. 29 years old, assistant coach, nephew of Travis Ford. You wrote a beautiful tribute to him in the Post-Dispatch earlier this week, touching on the importance that he had not only to the basketball program, but to people. He was a great people person, Benjamin. Just reflect, if you could, on the life of Ford Stewart.
Yeah, this was a really, really nice man. I got to know him briefly over the years here in St. Louis, or back home in St. Louis. I'm in Denver now. And Ford was just a genuine basketball junkie. He loved the game. He could tell you everything about the St. Louis high school scene. Oh, this player is good. This player, I don't know. And it was just, you could just hear in his voice that he was all in on this sport. And at age 29, he was an assistant coach at a really good college basketball school. You have to wonder where he would have been at age 39. And he was a family man. And then this is the most heartbreaking aspect of the whole thing, is that his wife is pregnant with their first kid.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I feel like, and I think this happens when you lose someone so young, is that I wish that I had spent more time getting to know him, and I did respect him a great deal. But I always assumed, you know, he's 29. Like, this will be a fun person to watch grow into a great coach. He's going to be a coach. He's a former player at Oklahoma State. Like, you just watched his trajectory and knew that he was going to be there. And to see someone pass away so young, and he had an infection and was hospitalized since Easter, is a very hard one. I feel so sad for Travis Ford and that entire staff and Chris May and the athletic department. At the same time, I know that they will rally and they will celebrate him the best way they can, is they're going to go out and try to win for him. And Benjamin, you spent a lot of time around Travis really since the get-go here. It's a very close-knit group, isn't it? Especially what they all went through together this past year with COVID, having to be sidelined together.
Yeah, and Travis, since he arrived here, he wanted to make the Billiken family literally that, a basketball family. And he calls it Team Blue, and it's a really special thing they got over there. And if you talk to Jordan Goodwin, one of the best recruits to ever sign with St. Louis, I mean, he'll talk about how Team Blue was a key reason why this idea of being part of this identity that is a family. And of course, Ford Stewart was literally family. He was the nephew of Travis Ford. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just heartbreaking all around. But they are a resilient bunch over there. You think about all the things they've been through during the Travis Ford era. You hope that resilience and that perseverance will lead them to some success next season.
Benjamin, that's well said, and I appreciate the time very much, especially on short notice coming to us from Colorado. Best to you in Denver. I know Blues fans are hoping that you're reporting on two wins. Game one tomorrow at 9, game two Wednesday at 9:30. We appreciate it very much.
Always fun talking to you, Tom. Take care, man.
Thank you. And also, Benjamin, if you're still there, I want to direct people to your 11-11 book, which is available right now, not only online, but also I believe you can get it through Amazon. We talked about it on the Garage Happy Hour. It's a celebration of the 2011 World Champions, and I highly recommend, not just because you put me in it a few times, which I appreciate, but I highly recommend that you get this book. The next holiday I can think of that would be a good gift would be Father's Day, an outstanding Father's Day gift, 11-11, Benjamin.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, the story of David Freese and the 2011 Cardinals is one that touches all of us probably listening to this show right now. We all have memories. Where were you for Game 6? That's the question around St. Louis. Where were you for Game 6? And this book has many untold stories about Freese and the Cardinals and the fans, too. A lot of fan stories in there. It's online at 11in11book.com. 11in11book.com.
And are you going to be doing any signings coming up soon? You've been doing these pop-up signings at the Starbucks on Forsyth right there, I believe.
Yes. Follow me on Twitter at HOCHMAN at Hockman, And a few times a week, literally, I'll be at different coffee shops around town, notably in Clayton, my home of my alma mater. And I'll come by the coffee shop, I'll tweet where I am, and I'll sign a book for you. Fun meeting the fans. And yeah, of course, if you want a personalized copy of the book, I can mail you one, too, from 11and11book.com.
I do. I want one. You're the best, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.
Benjamin Hockman, columnist in the Post-Dispatch, back after this. All right, much appreciation. Benjamin Hockman covering a lot of topics there from Denver, Colorado. That was fun, and we'll keep in touch with him as the playoffs roll along. The Blues and the Avalanche starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Late ones for the kids, that's for sure. We have a later Cardinals game tonight. 6:08 is first pitch for the Cardinals and the Padres. Mike Schilt. The Mike Schilt Show, an hour later, coming up here at 11:15 Central Time. John Mozeliak at 11:50 on KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.